When my wife and I first got saved, that was one of the first songs that we actually heard. So we were trying to change our music taste, as you can imagine. And that was one of the very first, you remember that? It was one of the very first songs we heard. And every time I hear that song, it always brings me back to the just the dear family that really witnessed to us for a long time, at least to me. And you know, I was a tough nut to crack, so to speak. But I'm thankful. And listen, every one of us is here because someone gave of their time and gave of their life, and because they understood the importance of a lost soul and how precious that soul is to the Lord. Brother Steve, thank you very much for that song. I appreciate that. A missionary's work. You know, there are blessings in preaching in the evening. One, you're a lot more awake. I'm not a morning person, but I've had to adjust because, you know, as the principal, you can't come in after the students. That doesn't quite work. So there are a lot of blessings in preaching in the evening service. However, that being said, there is one particular thing that usually, not usually, but can happen once in a while. I came in this morning, and one of the first things I do when I get in here is I check the computer, make sure everything that needs to be up, the slides are up, and everything is good to go. And Pastor Nick had his message up, and I looked at it, and I was like, hey, that looks familiar. That's, 66 books in the Bible, and that's the one you picked, huh? Then, 28 chapters, the book of Acts, huh? So him and I were laughing about it this morning, and he said to me, he goes, hey, we'll switch if you want. I said, no, the Lord knows exactly what we need, and if we need to read from that same chapter twice, we will. It's a little bit different message, but however, about halfway through the message, I do have a video clip I'm going to show. It's going to look like Pastor Nick preaching this morning, but it isn't, so don't mind that. Acts chapter 13, a missionary's work. A missionary's work. You know, really, missions is about us putting our desires and our will aside and doing the Lord's work. It's us sacrificing and surrendering and seeing the need, because there is a need. There's a great need. You know, it's hard sometimes when we are in ministry. And when I say in ministry, I mean witnessing to someone, knocking on someone's door, reaching out to the children in our Sunday school and in our WANA program and in Patch and in all the various ministries and detention center and just everything that we're involved in. And sometimes it's hard to, you know, we get caught up in the ministry aspect of it and forget that it really is just about those lost souls. And, you know, when there are nights, and those of you that work in Awana can testify, you come in, and boy, they've had a lot of sugar. That's the best way to put it. But you know what? We still love them, and we do need to love them, because guess what? They're not going to come to Christ by us getting angry with them. Listen, did we know any better before we came to Christ? We didn't know any better. We were doing exactly what we're supposed to do as lost people. But sharing the love of Christ with them, and when you see a precious soul weeping, placing their trust in Jesus Christ, that's the work of a missionary. As I say a missionary's work, I'm not talking about someone that's packing up and heading halfway around the world. That could be what the Lord's called you to do, but guess what? We're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to be missionaries. Say, well, what's my mission field? Open the front door and look. Open the window and just look outside. Those houses that you see, that's your mission field. You know, the store that you go in, that's your mission field. Now, listen, you may be called in some aspect of missions to go somewhere, and listen, if the Lord calls you to do that, by all means, surrender to do that. But when we talk about missionary work, it's not just those that are traveling abroad and doing the work of missionaries. You know, I've had the privilege and the opportunity to go on missions trips, and I listen. It was eye opening. It was enlightening, and it was a tremendous blessing. It's funny when you go on missions trips. If anybody have ever been on a missions trip or had an opportunity to do something like that, you go on a missions trip with the idea that I'm going to try and help the missionary and be a blessing to the missionary, and inevitably, you end up getting blessed more. you end up getting blessed more just because of the work that God is doing. And you know, it's humbling when you think of the fact that God would use us to proclaim his message. Acts chapter 13, I won't read through it all again, but I am going to read a couple of verses in the beginning of the chapter. And like I said, it is a little bit different perspective than what Pastor preached on this morning. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for the precious truths contained in your Bible. Lord, we thank you for just the songs that we heard this evening and songs that speak of what missions work is. And Lord, we just pray that even tonight, Lord, that if you're speaking to someone, calling someone, whether it's here in this state, in this city, in this county, in this country, or somewhere else, Lord, that they would surrender to that call. And Lord, just do what you've called them to do. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Missionary work, as I mentioned before, is a work that each and every one of us is called to do. It is not just for those men and women that are on that wall. Every one of us has a responsibility to be missionaries. Every one of us has a responsibility to tell those that we come in contact with about Jesus Christ. And when we fail to do that, there is someone that we have come in contact with that could have heard the gospel and didn't. And, you know, again, I just, as Steve was singing that song, I just kept thinking about, in that short 3 or 4 minute song, I was just thinking about my life and what it was and how God put everything together. Do you ever stop to think how God brought you to the place where you're at? You know, I know that the world believes in coincidences, but we know that with God there are no coincidences. God has a divine plan for each and every one of us. And whatever that plan is for each and every one of us, you know, our desire should be to fulfill that plan. And I, you know, I look back on my life and I think, Lord, how did I get here? And we can look around and each and every one of us can say, Lord, how did we get here? And you know, you look at God's hand moving in each of our lives. And you see the way that he put things together and brought people into our lives. And you think of those folks that he brought into our lives. Think of that person in your life that had an impact in your life, whether it's leading you to salvation or someone that helped you grow in the Lord or someone that encouraged you to surrender to do something for God that you would never have otherwise done. You know, it's incredible. Maybe you have been that person that has been able to encourage someone else to do something for the Lord. You know, I've had over the years, having the privilege of working with teenagers for so many years, you know, I've had the privilege of speaking to a lot of teenagers who have had questions about their salvation, questions about ministry. Teenagers who said, you know what? I really don't feel that the Lord's calling me to ministry. And I said, that's okay. Just be willing, be open. And today they're in ministry serving God. What a humbling thought. That had nothing to do with me or my wife. It had to do with the Lord. But you know what? God uses people. God uses people to encourage others to work and to do his work. Each and every one of us has been encouraged at some point, whether it's through the preaching of God's word, whether it's through a Sunday school class, whether it's through someone who just put their arm around you and said, hey, don't give up. Keep pressing on. You know, it's easy to get discouraged in the work of the Lord. It's easy to get discouraged as a Christian when we don't see things happening. I appreciate what Pastor Nick said this morning about, listen, don't worry about the fruitfulness. Worry about being faithful. Let God take care of the results. God just wants willing servants. He doesn't want servants that are focused on the numbers and lose sight of why we do what we do. And so, here we look at Paul and Barnabas, this is the beginning, or this is Paul's first missionary journey. And a couple of things, listen, as far as in this particular passage of Scripture, we know that they are actually going out on a missionary journey. But I want you to, again, look at this in light of the fact that our mission field is right where we are. It could be on our job. It could be the people that sit right next to us at our office. It could be the people that we go to school with, teenagers. It could be the people that we come in contact with every day. If you're like me and you're a coffee person, just leave it at that, and you come in contact with the same people, you know, witness to them, hand them a track. You know what I'm talking about. You know when you've drunk a lot of coffee, by the way, just to get off on a topic, I went to to get coffee at the Dunkin' Donuts where I usually go, and this is a couple of months ago, and the guy says to me, hey, where's your son? Son. I didn't even really realize he had a son. I mean, that I had a son. So, yeah, that's when you know you've had a little too much coffee. It's time to kind of take a break and maybe drink water for a while. But anyway, but the people that we come in contact with every day, hand them a track, witness to them. You know, we don't know when their last breath on this earth will be taken. Paul and Barnabas here are called in verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, see, they were busy in doing the things that God had commanded them to do. And by the way, we need to be, if right now we don't feel the Lord's calling us into a particular thing, be busy in the Lord's work. Be busy in the Lord's work. As they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. See, the work is a work that you are called by God, by God's Holy Spirit. It can't be a thing where it's us. It has to be the Holy Spirit directing it and guiding it. And then in verse 3, it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So the church sends them out. But look at verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. See, it is God that sends us. So, you know, if you have an impression on your heart to witness to someone, the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to talk to that person. Go talk to them. That's the Holy Ghost saying, go, tell, speak to them. But they look mean. That's okay. That's okay. We're going to talk about a couple of those things in a minute. But let's look at this, a missionary's work. Number one, a missionary's work is a work, you know, I love this, that demands work. So what does that mean? Sometimes I think that we want to do things for the Lord, but we don't realize, listen, it involves action. It involves us doing. We could pray about doing a lot of things, and we could pray about missions, and we could pray for our missionaries, and we should do all those things. But listen, missions work is a work that involves work. It involves us having to do. We have to do something. And if you look in this passage of Scripture, the first thing I see is that they worked everywhere they went. Everywhere they went. In verse 4, it says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and then they went to Cyprus. In verse 5, it talks about Salamis. Then in verse number 6, Paphos. Verse 13, Perga in Pamphylia. Verse 14, Antioch in Pisidia. They understood that the work that they were doing was everywhere that they went. That's the idea we have to have. Listen, everywhere we go, that's our mission field. Listen, if you look in the back of a lot of Bibles, it has the missionary journeys of Paul. It has them marked out. Take a map of Ocean County or wherever it is that we work and draw a map of everywhere we go on a regular basis. Oh, I start here, I take the bus, I go here, I walk here, I go here, and then I return home. You know what? That's your missionary journey. That's your mission field. Because guess what? Along that path, you come in contact with a lot of people. Whether it's on the bus, whether it's at work, wherever it is, down the street. Listen, if you walk to work, you come in contact with a lot of people. You say, well, yeah, but I got to get to work. I get it. I'm not saying that you get to work late in order to do that. I'm not saying that. But we do come in contact with an awful lot of folks that need to hear the gospel message, that need to hear the gospel message. And here we see that everywhere they went, they were telling people about Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. That in and of itself, I'm going to get to that in a minute, but that in and of itself should be enough motivation for us to tell people. The gospel needs to be preached for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We need to tell everyone that we can. Listen, maybe we say, I can't tell somebody in Brazil. I can't tell somebody in Peru. That's okay. There's missionaries there. There's Christians there that can tell them. But there's people here that need to hear the gospel. You know what? There's people in England that can't tell people in Tom's River about the gospel, but we can. Everywhere they went. I remember we took a missions trip back in 2010 to Vancouver. Vancouver's, if you've never been there, it's a beautiful city. It really is. And we got an opportunity, I think with about 10 of our teenagers, to go minister there with one of our missionaries. And while there, we did a lot of different things. We did some VBS outreach in the local park, which was a blessing. But one of the things we did there is we went to a rescue mission. And it was eye-opening. It was eye-opening because, you know, when they said we're going to a rescue mission, my first thought is criminals. I'm just telling you, that was my first thought. I said, these people are down on some of these people. And listen, the truth is, some of these people were scary. But you know what? I just said, Lord, I'm the adult. Don't cry. They need to hear the gospel. And they had a great setup there. Now, it was in it wasn't the nicer part of town. It wasn't terrible, but by their standard. But they say it wasn't the nicer part of town. So the missionary said, you know, we want to stay together and things like that. He says, when you go in there, you know, you can be friendly and talk to them, but you just need to be careful, things like that. And there was probably, I don't know, 50, 60 people in there. And they had a great setup because they would offer meals to anybody who went to the rescue mission. The only condition they had for eating a meal is they had to sit and listen to a gospel message. That's a good deal. So they had asked us to preach. They did it twice, and so we gave the gospel message. Afterwards, we got an opportunity to talk to some of the men and women that were there, and some of them were in tough spots. Some of them were in really difficult, difficult straits and just been through a hard time. But you know what the majority of the people said? Thank you. Thank you. They were blessed. They were thrilled that we were there with a group of young people that were willing to take the time to sing, to share the gospel message with them. There was one guy that we talked to, and he had been through a rough time, and he said, where are you guys from? And I said, we're from New Jersey. He goes, oh, I'm from New Jersey. Now, we're in Vancouver. And I said, oh, really? He goes, where's your church? I said, Tom's River. He goes, oh, and I'm trying to remember exactly where he said he was from. I think he said he was from Point Pleasant. And I thought, wow. I said, that's a long way to travel to meet someone that's right in your backyard. Nicest guy in the world. And he had told me some of the stuff that he had been going through. I mean, he'd gone through a lot of things. He had lost his family, just a lot of things. A lot of these people were recovering from alcohol and drugs. And you could see that the choices they had made had really taken its toll on them. But you know what? You know what God showed me? Listen, everywhere you go, these people need to hear the gospel. It's not just the people that look like they need the gospel. Oh, they'll accept the gospel, so I'll go tell them. They're not going to yell at me, so I'll tell them. Everybody needs to hear it. And you know what? It was eye-opening to me. It was a blessing to me. It almost made me cry, mostly because of my own sinful pride that I thought, I don't know if I can do this, Lord. Who am I to decide who needs the gospel and who doesn't? Who are we to decide that? Listen, we just tell everybody. The worst thing that can happen is they've already heard it, and you rejoice and you praise God and you say, amen, and you move on to the next person. But when we start deciding who needs the gospel and who doesn't need the gospel and who should get the gospel and who shouldn't get the gospel, that's not what God intended. Preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. God desires for everyone to hear the gospel message. And he's chosen us to be the vessels to get that message out there. And here we see everywhere that Paul and Barnabas went, whether it was Cyprus or Salamis or Paphos, wherever they went, they would just preach the gospel. It's a work that demands work everywhere you go. Listen, people need to hear the message. Not only everywhere they went, but letter B, they went preaching the word. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That, in a nutshell, is why we tell people about Jesus Christ. Because there's people who are bound. There are people who are brokenhearted. There are people who need liberty. And the only liberty, the only freedom they can ever experience is the freedom they have in Jesus Christ. People try a lot of different ways. Listen, I know in talking to Pastor, that's why he loves the RU program. Because it's not just about the addiction, but it's about freedom in Christ. Because that's the only freedom we can truly experience. Listen, we've had friends that my wife and I have known years and years and years ago who had different types of addictions. And listen, they would get quote-unquote victory for a short while, but they didn't really have victory. And in reality, listen, until we have freedom in Jesus Christ, we're still bound. You know what's interesting, if you read through this passage, everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. It says in verse 5, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues." That would be the equivalent of, I mean, picture this. Picture going to one of the Jewish synagogues or temples today and say, "Hey, I have something I need to share with you." Would we do it? Say, like, are you crazy? They would not like that. But the truth is, they need it. We look at it and we say, they don't want to hear it. And they don't. Listen, I've known people. Our own children were involved in ministries, outreach to Jewish people. They do not want to hear it. They are very, very anti anything that's Christian. Does that mean we stop telling them? Does that mean we stop going in and saying, Jesus died for you? No. Paul went right into the synagogue. Now, you know, when they had their services, so to speak, in the synagogue, they did a couple of things. They read from the books of Moses. They read from the books of the prophets. And then they would invite the learned men who wanted to, be an help or an exhorter or an encourager to others to speak. So, to me, I look at that, Paul must have been like, and he probably knew this. He's like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to tell you what I have to say. I can only imagine what went on in there. Can you imagine? And we heard what was said. Pastor preached on that this morning. I'm not going to go through that whole section again. But he started in the Old Testament to David to Jesus. And he told them, listen, they knew most of that. And what we have to do is not give people all our intelligence, but tell them about Jesus. You know, I love that song we sang this evening. We have a story to tell the nations. There's the last verse. We've a Savior to show to the nations. That's what we need to tell people about. Listen, we want them to come to Ocean County Baptist Church. We would love for them to come to our Awana programs and our Patch Club, and we want them to join the church. That's all great, but we need to show them the Savior first. Amen. Just sitting in church is not getting them any closer to heaven. You know what? Jesus Christ will do that. Now, they'll hear the preaching, but that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to show them the Savior, who the path of sorrow hath trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. That's what Paul and Barnabas said. Listen, we're going to tell you about Jesus Christ. We're going to tell you about a Savior that you need to hear about. They went into the synagogues. I'm sure that they thought about it and was like, synagogues. I don't know if this is a good idea. This is not going to end well. And listen, there's been times in our life where there's been opportunities that we've had, and we probably looked at the opportunity and said, this is not going to end well. Maybe not. We need to tell them. They preached the word. So they everywhere they went, they preached the word, and they took every opportunity that they got. We need to look for opportunities. Sometimes you say, well, you know, at work it's really hard to share the, and I get that. Listen, I for many, many years, I worked in an organization, and listen, I am respectful of your employer. If they pay you to work, you should be working. And I believe that with all my heart. But I also think we can look for opportunities to share the gospel message, because there are plenty of opportunities to discuss everything else. Amen. So we can take opportunities to share. Listen, that's where I was first witnessed to, was at my job. And it wasn't during work time. It was during downtime. Amen. Dear friend of mine said, and he started handing me gospel tracts. At first, it was just handing me little tracts. Desk full of them. I had them alphabetized. No, I didn't. But that's how it started. He, you know, look for opportunities. A gospel tract is a great opportunity. It doesn't require you to do anything. Now, you don't want to go to your job and litter the kitchen with gospel tracts. That's be respectful. But there's ways of doing it that is not disrespectful. Every opportunity, we already talked about the synagogues. Later on, if you read in verse number six, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now, Sergius Paulus was the deputy. Another title would have been the proconsul. His responsibility was, there were certain provinces that Rome ruled. Some of them were provinces that had military presences, and the military would be the one that ruled that area. But there were others that were not military presence type provinces. Those provinces were controlled or run by the deputy or the proconsul. And they reported directly to the Roman Senate. So these were men of high esteem, of high position, of power, of authority. And Paul and Barnabas have an opportunity here to speak to this particular man. Take the opportunity. They took the opportunity. It's kind of the equivalent of, you know, the governor of New Jersey saying, hey, do you have anything you want to ask me? As a matter of fact, I do. If that ever happened, would we take that opportunity? If you had one question to ask him, what would that question be? Would it be, hey, how much money do you make? How big is your house? Or would it be, do you know Jesus? Because, listen, all that other stuff is just fluff. The only thing that matters is, does he know Christ? Would we do it? Listen, that's an opportunity. And listen, we have opportunities all the time. You know, sometimes, you know, one of the things that I think we often struggle with is, how do we bring salvation into our conversations? You know, sometimes you have just a couple of seconds and you walk up to somebody, you have a couple of seconds, you hand them a tract and say, hey, do you know Christ is your Savior? We're just inviting folks out. Other times, it requires a conversation. It requires that we talk and listen to folks. I think sometimes, and this is an area I struggle with all the time, I'm so focused on get the message, hand them a tract, hand them an invitation, hand them a tract, hand them an invitation, that people are trying to talk to you, you're not even listening. And that's happened to me. And people are like, well, you're not even listening to me. Why would I listen to you? And sometimes we need to engage in a conversation with folks and look for the opportunity in the midst of the conversation. Sometimes people are hurting, and they're willing to share that with you. Say, yeah, I'm just really struggling with some things. That should be a little red flag that goes up and says, hey, you know what? That's an opportunity. I have to figure out how I can bring this to Jesus. Because listen, why did we come to Jesus? Because we had a need. Because we were lost in our sin. We had a need. And so when you open up a conversation with someone, a couple of things happen. One, you learn about the person. You listen to the person, which demonstrates to them, hey, they care about what I'm saying, regardless of whether it's small talk or whatever it is. And then look for opportunities in those conversations to share Christ with them. Share Christ with them. Years ago, my grandmother, who passed away, she basically raised my brother and my sister and I. My parents were divorced when I was very young, and she basically raised us. And when she passed away, I don't know if she ever did trust Christ as her Savior, but at her funeral, it was at a Catholic church, and my dad was taking care of all the preparations. My dad says, "Hey, they wanted to know if you wanted to say something at the service." I said, "Okay." Then I talked to my wife. I said, "I have an opportunity to say something." I got to be honest. I was like, this is a Catholic church. They may actually push me down the stairs of that altar. And I prayed. And I get up there and they said, "Oh, we're going to have," and they introduced me, say a few words. And I could almost, it was a setup like this. The pulpit was kind of off to the side and the priest was sitting behind me. And I never did turn around. But in my mind's eye, I know what was going on. And I get up there and I opened up my Bible. I can only imagine. And listen, I took 10 minutes and we were newly saved, but not that young in the Lord. And I just read from the scriptures and told people what God had done in our life. They didn't throw me down the stairs. But you know what? That was an opportunity. And we have to look for those opportunities and embrace those opportunities and trust that God's going to bless those opportunities. Now, I don't know. There was probably, 50, 60, 70 people there. I don't know if any of them, if that was just a seed planted and any of them went on to trust Christ later on. I don't know. But we don't need to worry about that. We just need to look for the opportunities and share the message. So it's a work that demands work. Number two, it's a work paved with challenges. Listen, it is never going to be always easy. Is there anything in life that's easy all the time? It isn't. But there's never going to be a situation where it's just constantly simple. And as Paul and Barnabas and some of the others are going on this journey, they encounter challenges along the way. They encounter challenges. And let's take a look at some of these. And, we can kind of equate this to some of the things we go through today. The first thing I want to look at, the first challenge, is the city of Paphos. Now, you say, well, how is that a challenge? It's one of the cities they visited on their journey. Well, here's some interesting things about Paphos. First of all, it was a city that was buried in immorality. Immorality. The majority of that city, the biggest thing they did there was worship the goddess of love, Venus. That was the big thing they did there. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. I think I have the quote up there. Athanasius, he was a religious scholar, if you will, that studied different types of religion, said this. Athanasius styled its religion, talking about Paphos, the deification of lust. In other words, they deified or lifted up lust. That was what they worshipped. Neither men nor women could resort to the shrine of Venus without being defiled in mind and depraved in character. So the only way you could, according to their beliefs in that city, to worship was to be deprived or defiled in your mind and depraved in your character. That was the requirement for worship. This is the city that Paul and Barnabas and the others are going into. And I wonder, what is our Paphos? What is the place that we're like, I can't go in there. I can't talk to them. Because listen, we've all experienced that. Where we say, that's a rough crowd. That's a rough neighborhood. They still need to hear the gospel. They still need Jesus. How are they going to know any different if someone doesn't tell them? And we need to get out of the mindset. And listen, I'm not talking about, let me just stop for a second. I'm not saying we put ourselves in danger all the time. But I think a lot of times, we kind of put it in our minds that we can't do something or whatever because of the way someone looks or because something, well, he's driving a motorcycle. So? He's got an earring. Yeah? It's in his nose. That's okay. He still has two ears, and he's still a precious soul that the Lord died for. So we need to tell them, we need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to get out of our you know, isolated bubble, so to speak. And we need to go into Paphos, wherever that is for us. And we need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Letter B, Elymas. Elymas is the sorcerer. If you read in verse number 6, it says, "And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus." Verse 8, it says, "But Elymas the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation, same person, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." So this deputy, the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, calls on to Paul and Barnabas, and he says, "Hey, I need to talk to you guys." He was a prominent man. He was a man of authority. He calls out to Paul and Barnabas and says, "Hey, I need to talk to you guys. You got a minute?" Man, you know, that doesn't happen often. But when it does, isn't it exciting? Isn't it exciting when it says, "Hey, you know what? You know, I heard the message about salvation. Can you tell me a little more about it?" Oh, that's awesome. So he calls Paul and Barnabas, and here comes Elymas. And it says in verse 8, "withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." You know, no sooner does someone want to know about Jesus Christ that there's someone else waiting. There's someone else waiting to snatch that seat away. I was at work years ago, and it was just a regular day at work, and I was at my desk doing whatever it was I was doing, and someone comes over to me and says, "You know, I've noticed you have your Bible out a lot, and that you and another guy that I was there, you guys were talking about the Bible and this, that, and the other thing." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "What is it about it that drew you to it?" And I was like, "Well," and I started telling her, "Yeah, this is that and the other thing." And I think she was Catholic, but not practicing. And we talked maybe for 5 minutes. It was out in the open common area there, so others were hearing it, which is always nice when you get an unintended audience, so to speak. 5 or 10 minutes later, someone else, my boss at the time, my supervisor, comes over, and he was a practicing Catholic. "Well, what is it you want to know?" "Well, we're having a conversation." "I know, but what is it she wants to know?" And I mean, he was belligerent in taking over the conversation because he did not like the answers I was giving. Well, after about 5 minutes of going back and forth, she stepped away from the conversation, and me and him started having a conversation. And I never like to debate because I don't think that is helpful. But it was just one of those things that just kind of happened. Next thing you know, we're going back and forth, and finally somebody stepped in and said, guys, let's just get back to work. And we did. And it was never discussed again, and the person never brought it up again. And I thought, the devil snatched that opportunity away. And listen, there are challenges every time you try and witness. It could be a distraction. It could be anything. We need to be ready to deal with those challenges. Listen, here comes this man, this deputy, and he says, I want to talk to Paul and Barnabas. I want to hear what they have to say. And here comes the sorcerer, the false prophet. Why don't you guys walk away? Listen, there's nothing here for you. Go. Shoo. Beat it. As soon as you try and do something for the Lord, as soon as you try and look for those opportunities, here comes the challenge. I was going home from work one day, walking through Manhattan, and there was a guy. He would be out there once in a while. Not often, but every once in a while I'd see him. And he would be out. He was dressed in his suit. I mean, it would be the middle of summer in Manhattan, and he'd be out there. And I used to love to listen to this guy. He'd be out there. He had his Bible. He didn't have a microphone. This guy had a loud voice. He had his Bible, and he was just preaching. He would stand on any street corner. This one particular time, he was right in Times Square. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, it was rush hour. People are heading home, and he's on the corner, and he's preaching the resurrection of Christ. I mean, and he is going for it. And I'm like, wow. And so I stood there. I mean, I had a bus to catch. I missed the bus. I was like, I got to listen to this. This is awesome. And a couple of people were standing around. Most of the other people had to look like, oh, no, I can't believe this. But you know what? He kept going on. It didn't discourage him. Well, sure enough, here comes this group. I didn't know who they were at the time, but they have this like billboard that they walk around with. It's like a poster board that they put up on this easel. And they are, best I can remember, They are descendants of Ishmael. Some of you may have heard of them. And what their beliefs are left field. But here they go standing across the street, and they have this large group, and they're speaking all this heresy, and this guy's still going for it. He's preaching the resurrection of Christ. He's preaching it strong. But there's the false prophet. There's the false prophet. You know, all I kept thinking about was, as these people are walking down the street, you know what what's going on? Confusion. Because they're hearing this on one side and these people on the other side. And you know what? That's the way the devil works. He doesn't have to grab their heart away from that person, just confuse them enough so that they don't know what to do. And there's a lot of people today say, oh, they have this thought about what Christianity is. And it's because of all the false things that are being done and preached and spoken of in the name of Christ that has nothing to do with Christ. But there's challenges that we'll face. Letter C, John Mark. You say, well, John Mark, how is that a challenge? As you read through this passage of Scripture, I'm trying to find a verse because I didn't put it down. As you read through these passages of Scripture along this first missionary journey, at some point, John Mark returns to Jerusalem. He leaves them. Now, if you read in Acts chapter 15, we get a little more insight into this. In Acts, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts 15, verse 36, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they just departed asunder, one from the other. Paul was so adamant that John Mark was not going to go with them again. Now, it doesn't really say what happened. We don't know if it was a disagreement. We don't know if he just didn't really have his heart in it. We don't know what happened. What we do know is that in Pamphylia, John Mark returns to Jerusalem, and Barnabas and Paul continue on. And when Barnabas recommends, hey, let's take John Mark with us again, Paul's like, no. And they were so at odds about this that they ended up splitting and going their own ways. Now, there is more insight at later on in the Scriptures where it talks about John Mark, and there's a little bit of a change. But right here, whatever it was that happened, at that point where John Mark left, that was a challenge. And listen, sometimes, man, we're excited. We're doing something for the Lord. People are excited. We got a group of people. And then we say, hey, guys, you know, you have like 10, 15 people going out. And all of a sudden, you know, you guys have that group that goes out to Lakewood once a week. And that's awesome. Listen, it is awesome. There's people that are hearing the gospel message every day. But what if we get out there and it's just one person preaching the gospel? That's a challenge. That's discouraging at times. But they kept going on. And whatever it is you do, listen, if someone decides to bail out, so to speak, or not be involved, just keep pressing on. Don't quit. Don't quit. You say, well, yeah, but I don't want to be the only one. Listen, you're not alone. The Lord is with us. And I understand when you go out in groups, there's encouragement in that. There's blessings in that. But keep pressing on. Don't quit. Don't quit. I know there were times when we were in youth group and There were times when the youth group, we had snack nights and there was four teenagers who showed up. And at first I'd get discouraged. And then my wife and I, you know, we were talking. I realized, you know what? Minister to the ones you have and let God take care of it. And then you know what? 6 months later, you'd have 20 kids. And you're like, well, the Lord knew. And you minister to those. And that's what we need to do. Minister to the people that we can. And if someone decides they don't want to be a part of it, they're missing out on the blessing. But keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Down in verse 44, not only do we see the challenge of John Mark leaving, but there's also the multitudes. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Amen. Look at that. You got a big group coming out. They want to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. The minute you try and do something for God, here come the naysayers. Here comes those that want to contradict everything you say. But listen, Paul and Barnabas' response remained the same. You know what they did? They kept preaching the word. Verse 46, I love this. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They were filled with envy. We're going to be confident in our God. They were filled with contradicting and blaspheming. We're going to keep preaching the word. Be prepared for challenges. You'll face challenges along the way. Don't quit. The last point is this. Not only is it a work that demands work, it's a work paved with challenges, but it's a work with a plan. God always has a plan. A few questions, and then we're done. What to do? So what to do? The first thing we need to do is go. Well, that's simple. Go. Where? Wherever God calls you to go. You know, when Abraham was called, he just packed up and went. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew God was leading him, and he knew God would take him there, and he just went. You say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Grab a handful of gospel tracts, grab a handful of invitations, and just go. Go where? Just go. God will open up a door. God will open up opportunities. You say, well, you know what? I did that last week, and I knocked on 25 doors, and I put tracts on there, and I didn't get one person that wanted to hear anything. But you go what? You put 25 gospel tracts out. But nobody listened to me. Don't worry about it. See, we're focusing on the results. Just go. Just go. You know, when Paul was challenging young Timothy, what did he say? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove. What is he saying? Just tell people. Just preach the word of God. Say, well, we're handing out gospel tracts. You look on there, that's the word of God on there. There's verses on there that tell people how to be saved. And if they have questions, the church's phone number's on there. Not your phone number, the church's. See, you won't be getting phone calls. Preach the word. But we, in order to do that, we need to go. Listen, missions requires having the right heart. We need to have the right heart. That's a willingness to just go. But not only do we have the right heart, we need to have a definitive action. What is that definitive action? We need to go. Too many times we say, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. We just need to go. This is missions month. Listen, I know winter's coming and it's going to be a lot harder sometimes to get out there and go, you know, knocking on doors for more than 20 minutes because it's freezing. But listen, it's still warm enough to do it. Just go. You say, well, I'm scared. That's okay. Most of us usually are. Nobody likes knocking on a door that you don't know what's on the other side of the door. But they need it. They need to hear it. Listen, we have kids coming in all the time from Moana. Every time the van pulls up, most of the kids are the same, but every once in a while we have different kids that get off the van. We don't know what background these kids come from. We don't know where these kids are at. We don't know if they're going to be nice, if they're going to be mean, if they've had, you know, five-hour energy drinks. We don't know what they've had. But we minister to them just the same. We go. Number two, we tell them. That's preach the word. Listen, the message never changes. Preach Christ. That's it. What do I tell them? Tell them about Jesus. What else do I tell them? Tell them about Jesus. Is there anything else I need to tell them? Preach the word. I don't know what to say. Read the Bible. Start in Romans. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? That if you're not saved, you need to be. We don't need to be theologians. We just need to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's why I love gospel tracts, because guess what? They have it all lined out. It's like a 3 or 4 point outline right on the back of a gospel tract. If you don't know what to say, just read it. Just read it. So what to do? How to do it? How do we do it? In the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen, if you go out there in your own strength, you will fail. You say, what do you mean? What if that person comes to church? If you're doing it in your own strength, like wood, hay, and stubble. We need to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. God has a plan. His plan involves doing things His way, following the Holy Spirit's leading. That's why it says at the beginning of this chapter, Paul and Barnabas were called by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, and they were sent by the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. We need the power of God resting upon us. So what does that mean? Am I going to be able to, you know, send fire? No. It just means you can go out, and even when fear seems like it's going to overwhelm you, you keep pressing on. And you know what? When you get through the end of the day, you realize, you know what? God did that. God did that. You say, well, I don't understand. If you go and you just tell people, you'll understand. Just pray and ask God's Holy Spirit to do it. So that's how we do it. Who's the work for? It's for everyone, okay? But first, it's for believers. You say, well, wait a minute. We're the ones going out. How is that for believers? Listen, if you look, the work that they were doing was encouraging other people. The work that they were doing was encouraging other people. In verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And people were being encouraged by what Paul and Barnabas were saying. Listen, when you hear testimonies and when you see people witnessing, out witnessing, listen, can you imagine if we were out in Tom's River witnessing, handing out tracts door to door, and as you're walking down a neighborhood, you came across another believer from another church handing out gospel tracts, witnessing to people, and you saw five others doing the same thing. Imagine the encouragement if you saw the streets scattered with people with gospel tracts in one hand, the Bible in the other one, and wanting to tell people about Christ. What an encouragement that would be. It is an encouragement when we see people doing that. But it's also for the lost, for the unbeliever. The reason we do what we do is because there's people that need to hear the gospel. And the final question is this: why do we do it? Why do we do it? To bring salvation to the lost. To give them the answer to questions that they don't even know how to ask the question. Listen, I knew, my wife knew, that there was something missing in our life. I didn't sit there and go, I need salvation. I didn't know that. But we knew there was something missing. There is a world. We've assumed that the world doesn't want anything to do with Christianity. When in reality, there's a lot of people out there that are looking for hope. That are looking for an answer. And they're searching everywhere. And we have it, and we won't tell them. We talked about the proconsul, the deputy, earlier in this passage of Scripture, Sergius Paulus. And I was doing some research on this particular passage. And they said that they uncovered evidence, archaeological evidence, in Cyprus that he was indeed a Christian. And they uncovered evidence that his family later became Christians. Now, you say, well, did the Apostle Paul know it at the time? Did Barnabas know it at the time? The answer is, does it matter? Because when it comes to eternity, the only thing that matters is that they came to Christ. Why do we do it? To bring salvation to the lost. Listen, the signs of the time are there. Jesus is coming back. Hell is a real place. I'm going to finish with this and then we're done. I was thinking about preaching on this passage of Scripture, passage that we're familiar with in Luke chapter 16. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And in verse 22, I'm going to read these passages of Scripture, but I want you to think about this. We often look at this and we look at the rich man and we look at the beggar and we see the differences and we know the story. But I thought of this as I was reading this a couple of weeks ago. If we looked at this passage from the perspective of the rich man, as we read this, I want you to put yourself in his shoes, and I want you to look at things through his eyes only. And ask yourself this question. His life is over. But what if we had that perspective right now? How would that drive us to make decisions today? Let's read verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, and I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedest thy good things. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren. Verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. If we had the desire that this man has now, and we see things the way he sees them, before it's too late, would that drive us to make different decisions? If we saw this great gulf between heaven and hell, that there's no way, listen, once they're in hell, it's it. And if we visualize that now, he's in torments. He just wants someone to dip their finger on his tongue, just a little water, just something to quench it. He understands his condition is done. He is begging someone to go see his brethren. What if we had that heart right now? Listen, it's not too late. If we had that burden now, what would that drive us to do? Who would that drive us to speak to? Who would we reach out to? Who would we tell? How urgent would we see the need? How would that burden be in our heart? I mean, I read that passage and I just think to myself, you can hear the anguish in the words, the anguish. I wish I had done it different. Well, guess what? We have that opportunity. May God bless us. May God give us that burden. Listen, I don't think that's in there to scare us. I think it's in there to give us an urgency that, hey, we need to do something now. We need to do something now. A missionary's work. Listen, we're all missionaries. We're all missionaries. We may not be in Uganda. We may not be in Australia. We may not be in the Philippines. But there's a missions field right here in Toms River, New Jersey. Let's reach out and tell others about a Savior who loves them and who died for them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this evening. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the privilege, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have that burden. Help us, Lord, to reach the lost. Help us to just have that desire, Lord, that every soul is precious in your sight. Lord, as we get ready to just sing the invitation in a few moments, Lord, I pray that if there's someone in our hearts that, Lord, we have a burden for, Lord, just may they come to the altar and just pray, Lord, that they would have a burden, that they would cry out to you, and that, Lord, that you would just put that burden and give them an opportunity to share the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.